Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni. I'm joined by Cody Thompson, my co-host.
How's it going, Pat?
No adjective for you today, but you're still trusty. And Perfect. We've got Chris Jensen back in the house, our buddy.
I'm back.
And it's nice to have you here. Tracy's observing, keeping us in line. So is Matt, our engineer. And Cody, what is our topic today?
The topic today is the truth about virtual productivity.
Yes. So here's the deal. We've been now in this COVID shutdown for about 9 months, 10 months almost, and we bought in, and rightly so, went in hard and we shut down. We were all working from home, and we found that productivity from working at home was much higher than we thought it would be.
Right.
Right.
And that was great. I think there was a lot of adrenaline at first. There was a novelty to this. There was a push to make it work. And the truth of the matter is you can actually get more done working virtually than we thought.
Yep.
And that was a great thing. But we have now settled into this. Some people are calling it, again, the new normal. And that's a dangerous thing.
Yeah.
Because we have to acknowledge something. And if we have to do this because of safety and the medicine and the issues around people staying healthy, then that's one thing. Coming to terms with the fact that this is actually the new normal, and which a lot of companies and a lot of people are doing, and then people in the media, is very dangerous, because productivity working virtually is never going to be the same as people working together. Now, there are certain jobs, and Matt did some research yesterday, there's a few jobs that you can do virtually, and it's almost no difference. And probably those jobs have been moved virtually even before COVID.
Even before, right.
But we are now in a situation where a lot of big companies are kind of virtue signaling. They're like, oh, we're shutting down forever. Yeah. And they're really proud of it. I've talked to CEOs who are like, no, we're really proud that we're probably never going to have people come back to work. And other big companies are saying, yeah, we're going to make it take another year. The problem is those companies' productivity is going to go way down. Many of those big companies can survive. Small businesses can't.
Right.
And frankly, shouldn't. Unless they have to. And so what we want to do is we want to poke a hole in this theory today that says you don't have to work with other people in person in order to get the most out of those folks.
What I find funny is that we'll look for data, you know, we'll look for the productivity metrics that come out. But really, we talk about vulnerability on this podcast. I mean, I work from home, and I can just tell you anecdotally that when I got off some of these Zoom calls, and everyone who I'm looking at and everyone who's listening to this got off your Zoom call and went in the other room and turned Friends on TV or something and like played with, you know, we all did that.
Cody, I never once left right. my office. I didn't go see my kids. I didn't right. watch television. I didn't eat my wife's chocolate chip oatmeal cookies.
Right.
Never.
No, I mean, but that's the thing is like, why are we pretending? But, and we shouldn't. We should just call it for what it is. Like, it was actually great. It was a great 2 month stint for us, and we did get a lot done. But when it comes to all the stuff we talk about around being a healthy organization and even a healthy team, trust, conflict, commitment, accountability, results, it's impossible to maintain the same level of productivity in a virtual environment.
Long term. Right. Yeah.
Long
term. Exactly. We're denying human logic and human reason. Because none of us would suggest that you could have a virtual marriage or a virtual family and it would be the same.
Right.
So why would this thing called a virtual company be the same? And remember, the words for company are to break bread. In Latin, compagnie. They named it to break bread. Mm. And so now, again, I am so glad that there's more options now
right.
for those times when you have to stay home and you can try to get more done. We've learned how to use these tools. But this narrative that says this is the new normal and it's fine is really dangerous, because it is eventually going to catch up with our economy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally with our economy. And I would say I'm glad we're talking about this, because in the last 2 months, this has probably been the number one topic in all of my conversations with clients that are small to medium-sized businesses.
Right,
the big businesses are, they have already adapted to a virtual, it was almost a non-issue for them to say, just stay home. But for these small companies that never had that.
And we're talking under 500 employees again.
Exactly. And the word they're using is productivity. They're saying the long term, like when the company was rallying together to pull through the initial phase of it, that was one thing. But now that they're going into the second year of their employees' kids doing school at home again, right. trying to make, now they're out of the like emergency feel of it and it's back into the grind. Productivity is going down. They're feeling it. And it's a big issue.
Well, I love one of the articles that surfaced yesterday as we were talking about this was like, how could you even possibly claim that productivity could be higher or even neutral when everyone who's working from home is also has their kids, you know, exactly. Like they're doing homeschool. I mean, it's just like in a vacuum, if let's say you had, you replicate your office and you move it into your home and you have the same environment, maybe. I mean, maybe
like,
you can maintain
nobody can interrupt you.
Right. And, yeah. But that's not even happening. And then the second point is like the part that's seemingly like less talked about is work just about productivity? Like, is that really what we're the metric by which we're now productivity is down, but let's say it's even just marginally down. The relationship, this is what we talk about on this podcast, right? I mean, the working together, the relationships, the culture, that would do away with, if all we're doing doing is measuring output, then it strips work of like all the purpose that we talk
right.
about.
Well, and in fact, when you really look at what I would call fully loaded productivity, it has to incorporate that.
Exactly.
I mean, maybe you crank out more widgets, but is the quality the same? Are people catching problems? Are they leaning into one another, holding each other accountable? The answer is no.
Right. I was just going to say it's what you always talk about, the difference between effectiveness and efficiency.
Right.
And this is one of those situations where is it more efficient to just like turn on your computer and jump into meetings through Zoom? Maybe, but is it more effective? And the answer is clearly no.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? It's like, so my kids are hybrid school right now, and they're probably going to shut it down again.
Yep.
But they'll tell you they're just not learning near as much of what they did before.
Yeah.
And if you were to talk to a doctor who hasn't seen a patient in person, they do it all on Zoom, they're going to say, of course, I'm not going to diagnose things as well. And so we did some research online, Matt did yesterday, looking at for articles. We all actually jumped in there. And every article was talking about how productivity is the same. Now, every CEO we talked to says, oh, no, it's not.
No.
But the articles say it. Now, none of them cite any data. But I think what they do is they go to employees and they say, how do you feel about working home? And people are like, I'm not going to tell you it's bad. Heck, I love being able to bake cookies and because I bake cookies, you know, and and tutor my kids and not have to commute. And there are some benefits to all that. But if we don't think the economy or our customers are going to be impacted by us working from home,
right,
then we're lying to ourselves.
And you had said this earlier in this podcast, in no other sphere in our lives would we say it's going to make our relationships and our ability to get things done better in marriage and schools. I mean, schools, this is something that every parent is facing, all the school districts are facing, is our kids actually learning? I think I saw something around like parents looking into homeschooling is having the biggest rise in history, and at least history of our country. And so,
you know, it's funny, they're making homeschooling illegal in a lot of European countries.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think that what's interesting is what you just brought up, Pat, around the poll, like where's the data coming from? And when you talk to employees, imagine answering a survey of like, hey, we're not going to tell your boss, but tell us exactly how productive you've been at home. You know, you're going to say, no, it's been great. I mean, obviously I think this is working for me, but I think that the larger point here, and the reason that this is so important and imperative right now, is that we could wake up in 6 months from now when the collective productivity of our like working population is down 30 or 40% and wake up to a different reality of the landscape of business and GDP. You know, I mean, like, this is not a theoretical conversation where we say like, hey, you should really get in the office together because it's more fun and more purposeful. It's like, if we don't recognize and call this out early on, this is going to have dramatic impacts on the world of work. Mm-hmm.
And you know something, that's interesting. Our last podcast last week was about small business. Mm-hmm. If you're a small business, find a way to buck this trend.
Yeah.
Because that's your key. That's your window of opportunity. The rest of the world is getting soft around productivity. And again, we're not trying to say, don't be safe.
No.
But find a way to be more nimble than larger companies and then your competition, because you need to do that to survive.
Yeah.
Because so many others are going to fall away.
I was just going to say, you know what's interesting is even before all of this, let's say we were consulting to an organization and their team, and this happened all the time, their team was this multinational team that only got together once every 6 months, you know? And we would tell them, oh, no, you can't do that. Like they only got together in person once every 6 months. We would say, hey, you have to get together more.
Right.
And so now we're on the other side of this thing where people matter. Are like, oh, it doesn't matter.
it
mattered before. We're not just saying it mattered now. I mean, when we go down to the behaviors that we talk about and innovation and the best ideas and good conflict, that doesn't happen as well over Zoom. It can't.
No.
And so it's imperative from a big picture business standpoint and from individual work satisfaction and fulfillment. We have to figure out ways to be in compagnia. I don't know the Italian word to use. The breaking bread word.
It's Latin. You know, it's close to Italian.
I'm curious your take on this, but put you on the spot with a question. What do you think it says about a company that the employees are like, oh no, I'd rather just work from home and not come in?
Well, it's a very interesting thing. And I talked to a CEO who was like, oh yeah, my people are glad to be working from home. And it's right. But that same CEO told me that they had big cultural issues.
Right. And that's
like,
the thing.
So those cultural issues are only going to get worse. And like, I have a friend who works for a big consulting firm that's, they've been hoteling for years. So dysfunctional. There is no teamwork. It's all, and it's one of those partnership organizations and partners are working against each other and they're fighting against each other. All they have is really a co-brand.
Right.
So if your expectations for having culture and morale are low, yeah, this is going to be a net, a wash.
Totally.
But if you have a culture, people not working together and seeing each other is going to be a huge problem.
See, that is interesting. It made me think there's a client I work with down here in the Silicon Valley, small little tech company, and we all know them. They're excellent, strong culture. They were all in just like we were, like we're going to make this virtual thing
work.
We were
safe. We did.
Yeah. They're still doing it and they're struggling with their culture. They're like, Chris, how do we keep building and deepening our culture? How do we hire new people into our culture? I mean, it is such a big challenge when you can't get these people in a room, have discussions together, have interview candidates come in and interact with the people to see what they're like. I mean, it's right. Exponentially more difficult.
You know, I'm thinking about this in the context of the last podcast where we talked about that the majority of American jobs are small businesses. And it's like, this actually represents an opportunity to where big companies' productivity and big companies' culture is going to suffer because they have to manage this differently. I mean, no one can put the Salesforce tower can't be full tomorrow. I mean, that's right. Just never going to happen. But I think of the listeners of this podcast who are small to medium-sized businesses, you have to start thinking of this as like this is an opportunity for competitive advantage because all the stuff we talk about healthy teams and efficiency or effectiveness, if you can figure out a way to crack the code on this and do a safe way of getting your team together more and finding ways to enact these behaviors that happen in person, you're going to outperform the other companies. I mean, there's a real opportunity for like growth here.
You know, right. I think of like big chain restaurants and they're good. You know, companies, there needs to be chain restaurants and everything else, but they can't do the same things.
No.
But like our little Italian restaurant here, Locando Positano, they have put a little tent up outside. And it's like, because they have to, they're scrapping to stay. Right. And so we can go there and eat outside and the restrictions get, but they're finding a way to do it. Well, when this ends, I'm going to go there for the rest of my life.
Oh yeah. Seriously.
And so that's the thing.
Especially that restaurant.
if you're a small business, find a way to make this work. We've been working for the last 6 months together in the office. We've had no incidents of COVID. We're really careful. The couple times somebody's got sick, we've shut it down.
There's only 10 of us. We have two different buildings here, you know. Yeah. So.
Well, and that's the thing about this whole topic is, what are we talking about? We're talking about being in person, having meetings with probably 10 to 15 people. We're not saying gather 3,000 people into a room and just all...
Right.
It's not a rock concert.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The productivity question is what we started with, but the underlying message around what we're talking about in terms of like the purpose of work and individual fulfillment. And so there's like from the macro conversation to what it could do
to the economy,
all the way down to the individuals on a team and people's individual satisfaction. I just think that this is an important message for people to hear and for the people that are listening to this to find fun, creative ways to figure this out.
Yeah, let's not accept this new normal,
right?
Because what we'd then be saying is we're just not going to have a productive economy, a productive business in society. Now, by the way, let me just say this. If you have somebody in your business who's older and at risk, or if they got a pre-existing condition, do everything you can to protect them. Mm-hmm. Don't do anything dumb. Mm-hmm. We're talking about being wise, being safe, and being scrappy.
And recognizing the importance of being together. I mean, that's... Really what it is even if this is extended, what the real demarcation is, are we going to celebrate and affirm the fact that we should be apart indefinitely, or are we going to acknowledge and then fight to be together again in the future? And I really think that like the bigger companies are taking the first approach, which is like, you know what? We're proud that we're doing away with our offices, when really, as long as we maintain this desire and need and importance and urgency to figure out a way eventually to make this, to make us get back together, that's really the key.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, Matt, our engineer here, he came to work here, him and Liam, right out of college. All their friends are doing virtual work. Mm. And their friends' job satisfaction is really low.
Oh, I bet.
They're just like, and they're playing Call of Duty a lot earlier in the day. I think it's up to 2 o'clock now. And they say that. They're like, yeah, I ended my day at 2 and I started playing video games. And aside from the fact that they're not feeling good about themselves, aside from the fact that they're not enjoying their jobs or feeling really connected to anybody, think about what's going on in those companies. They're paying these employees to sit home and play Call of Duty. Now, you know who's doing really well? Call of Duty. There's someone, a crap load of video games.
Seriously.
I think in my house alone, between that and all these other video games, are doing quite well. Anyway, so let's not accept this new normal. Let's safely but innovatively figure out ways to be together, because human beings are meant to live in community, that's work right. in community, be face-to-face, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So thanks for being with us again today. We'll see you next time on At the Table. God bless.